Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for your tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. That's why, if at any time there's something that we say, or something that you would like to say concerning the things that we talk about on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question, a Bible subject, you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program. In any case, let us hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, neglect is dangerous. Take the farmer, for instance. He can lose his crop because of being negligent. The businessman, he can lose his business if he is neglectful. And a man can lose his soul simply because he neglected to care for it properly. You know, the word neglect, or at least our word neglect, is from the Latin word that means to not pick up. So the idea is it's an attitude that chooses not to heed some warning, to pay little attention to, or to fail to carry out or to follow through because of just simple carelessness. Or maybe even the word sluggard or sluggishness is a word that we can associate. You know, neglect is especially dangerous because of the difficulty when it comes to recognizing it. It's very subtle. And simply because it operates so slowly. You know, sadly, all of us, at some time or another, have problems with neglect. Mainly it's out of a failure to pay careful attention, or to just simply put off later things that actually need immediate attention. I've chosen to call this problem put-off-ism, and I think truly it does fit. Neglect is difficult to diagnose because it seldom takes the form of just outright refusal, outright rejection. It's almost in all instances, neglect is gradual. Let's look at the warning that we have given to us in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them slip. See, this verse actually comes, if I'm understanding it right, from a nautical viewpoint. And it's a figurative expression that would be used to describe a ship that has been neglected, and so it runs past the harbor of safety. You know, we tend to excuse ourselves by saying that, well, I'll get around to it soon enough. But friends, neglect is kin to a slow leak. And when we come to spiritual matters, it's almost certain that every kind of departure from God's Word can be traced to some form of neglect. And I think we would do well to watch carefully for this very subtle form that can gradually, ever so slowly, cause us to drift away. But you know, no person is immune to neglect. In fact, the world seems to be saying, just lean back, relax, and enjoy life. There's no hurry. Don't fight it. But friends, that won't work. The Bible says there's work to be done. Work for me personally. Work that needs my immediate and concentrated attention. You know, we're told in Philippians 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. No, this is not saying that we work out our own plan of how and what to do to be saved. No, God has already figured that out. All we must do is to heed and follow what He teaches, what Christ would have us to do in order to avail ourselves of the blood, His blood, that can cleanse us from sin. But no, when it comes to the salvation, nobody else can work it out for me. I have to work it out for myself. I have to do it myself. Nobody can do it for me. My parents can't do it for me. My wife can't do it for me. My children can't do it for me. So this is what it means when it says, work out your own salvation. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's every man's responsibility to work out his own salvation. And just because that responsibility is ignored or because it's neglected, that doesn't mean that it goes away. See, every Christian is commanded in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. See, giving diligence, that doesn't allow for procrastinating, for putting off, for neglect, for any form of indifference or unconcern on our part. You can't find that at all, any of those things, in the definition of diligence. You know, one of the most subtle forms of this put-offism might be called negative holiness. You know, far too many Christians, they tend to base their faithfulness on what they haven't done wrong. See, because they have not participated in some sexual impropriety, or they've not stolen anything from anybody, or they haven't slandered their neighbor, they judge themselves to be faithful. See, this negative holiness, that's the devil's way of making us feel good just because we haven't done some things that are wrong. But friend, James says in James 4, verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is this saying? It's saying that there's more to it than not doing. We have to do as well. I believe there are several things that we can do to deal with this problem of neglect. First, we need to make sure that our aims, our purposes are kept in good and clear focus. See, the person that has high goals and his dedicated purposes, he's far less likely to neglect than the person whose goals are not that well defined and his goals are not kept in focus at all times. In Hebrews chapter 12, we were in chapter 2 just a minute ago, but let's look at Hebrews 12 and read those first three verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So see, friends, this is one way that we can deal with neglect. Make our aims, our purposes, keep them in clear focus. The focus that Jesus had and what we read here that helped him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, that helped him to endure the cross, despising all of the shame, was the fact that he, as he says, looked unto him, knowing that he at some point beyond all of this would sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, as the passage says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And our goal is to, as verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. He is our example. He endured the cross. He despised the shame because he knew what awaited him. And friends, that must be our goal, our purpose, our aim. And let us not be neglectful of it. Second, we need to be very careful to remember our personal devotion to God. See, worship, that's a deterrent to neglect. It's hard to neglect God when we're regularly assembling, when we're singing, we're praying, we're hearing God's word. So, keeping in touch with God keeps neglect away from us. This is how David words it in Psalms 119, beginning with verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. We need to keep in touch with God, and that will help us not to neglect. And thirdly, we need to make sure that our hope shines brightly because that we are firmly fixed in our desire to go to heaven, as well as our expectation that our faithfulness, coupled with his grace, will ensure for us a home in heaven when this life is over. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, a person that wants to go to heaven, who worships regularly, and has his hope securely fastened in God, is not likely to be neglectful, putting off what's necessary for his eternal salvation. Friends, it's time that we wake up. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.